Okay, Rabbi Yisai, so we're nearing the end of the Shaar Bitachon. And last time we got together, we learned the beginning of Perek Zion. And here the Mechaber gave us a list of those things which can endanger our Bitachon. Even if the person has acquired Bitachon, it's Shayach to lose Bitachon, Chas V'Shalom. And I just, we left off with the idea that one of the main things that makes a person lose his bitachon is that a person is miyaches, netiyas adam, it is human nature, liyaches yecholes legorme hagemor. This was something very, very powerful, I want to repeat it. He says, human nature is, and it's just natural because we follow what we see, our nature is to attribute success to cause and effect. Whatever seems to be the direct cause of a certain effect, that appears to be the thing that we should believe in is the cause. But something which is very remote from the final effect, and it does not seem to be a direct cause, it's very indirect, very remote, very distant, so we don't pay that much attention to it, and it's not significant. And the further something is away, the further a cause, the further a medium is away from the end, we have less respect for it, and we put less faith in it, and it means less to us. But he says the opposite is true, certainly in Bitachon, in the world in general, the opposite is true. He gave this wonderful mashal, I'll repeat it again. The mashal, when you think about it, is just fantastic. That once upon a time, the king wanted to punish a prisoner and kill him. So the king doesn't kill prisoners himself. He's too high. So he gave a command to his viceroy, the Mishnah Melech. He said, punish that prisoner. Mishnah Melech doesn't kill people either. He gives it over to an officer who's in charge of the general, the field marshal. And the field marshal gives it over to a general. And the general gives it over to a captain. And the captain gives it over to the wardens of the prison. And the warden of the prison gives it over to the execution department. And the execution department gives it over to the executioner. And finally, when the prisoner is being taken out to be killed, he begs the executioner, please forgive me, please pardon me. The executioner is an illiterate boor. Doesn't know the first thing, has no idea why this man's being killed. Doesn't even know the name of the prisoner. He has no shaykh, doesn't know why, when, where. He says, I got from the warden. Go to the warden. Warden says, I don't know the reason. I got it from the captain. Captain, I don't know why. I got it from the general. General. Got an order from the field marshal. Field marshal, the viceroy. Viceroy, I'm not in charge over here. Who's in charge? The king. The king never saw this prisoner. He never come close to the prison, never comes close to the execution place. He's beneath his dignity, but he's in charge. The marshal is just awesome. We said it over 2 weeks ago. I haven't stopped thinking about it. I don't think a day went by that I haven't thought about this marshal. It's unbelievable. So Dafka, the person you think is controlling your life, is the least in control. The closer the person is to your life, your immediate boss, he looks like he's mamish the person in charge of your life, he has the least to do with you. There's forces upon forces upon, the one who's furthest away, in any business it's clear, they have a cost cutting. So Chase Manhattan is dropping 3,000 jobs, so my immediate supervisor comes and fires me. No shot. Please don't fire me, supervisor. I don't know why you're being fired, I have no idea, I know one thing. They chopped 3,000 jobs. It's way up high. The boss, the CEO, he's 3,000 miles away, he's on the West Coast. Has no shakas with you. It's so divorced. She says it proves you bechush that just the opposite. The further away something is, fakir, makes sense. The further away something is, that means it's very high, and that really is where the power is. And the closer a cause is to you, where it seems to have such an effect, it just shows it's so low that it really has little power. But proof is it's so close to me, so it's very low. It's close to me. He says it's exactly how it works with Bitachon. This is new. So he says, Klal Shel Davar, here is how it works in Bitachon. The more a person recognizes that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam is in charge, the more the Rabbeinu Shel Olam watches over me. if I have faith, taka, that my supervisor is the main power of my life. So that's it. So the supervisor is going to do things, but the supervisor cannot even listen to me. If I believe in the supervisor runs my life, but the supervisor runs my life in a robotic fashion that has no shaykhus to me. The supervisor I can't ask for mercy on the supervisor. The supervisor is not the one who makes decisions anyway. So too, if a person believes in the Rabbi Shalom, Hashem makes decisions. If I believe in nature, then nature is a robot. If I believe just in the causes of nature, the forces of the economy, the forces of health, and I believe that the doctor is really the doctor of flesh and blood, according to the laws of health, there's no hope for this person's sickness. If I really believe that what's hurting me is this sickness, there's some virus over here, there's some chas v'shalom malignant cell, rachman l'zlan, that's affecting me. So malignant cells, you can't bargain with malignant cells. They don't talk English. Malignant cells don't understand what mercy is. If I believe in the malignant cell, I'm taka farfala. If I believe that the malignant cell was sent from way, way, way high, far away, the Rabbi Shalom, then I can negotiate with the Rabbi Shalom because I know it's really him. So if I believe in the direct cause and effect, I'm in big trouble, Zakhtar. He says, I'll prove it to you. Because a child, when he's first developing and maturing, he puts his faith, the baby knows one thing, his mother's breast. The baby doesn't even know he has a mother. When the baby is born, it doesn't even know its mother. It knows its mother's breast. Like David Amel says in Tillim, in Kapitel Chavveis, which is the Kapitel of Esther, Maftichi al Shadei Imi. My first bitachon was on the breasts of my mother who nursed me. Esther describes how she was born. She was a Kailach Yosaima. Her father died when her mother got pregnant. Her mother died when she was first born, actually. And she didn't even know her mother. And she, some nurser was nursing her. She doesn't know from nursing. It's a natural, instinctive thing that children suck. And she sucked from the breast. She didn't know there's even a person behind the breast. Kasher sichlam is pateach. When the child's seichel develops, he starts recognizing his mother. And realize the mother takes very good care of it. Like David Amel says also later on, Kuf Lamed Aleph, in Tillim, in Loi Shivisi V'doi Mamti Nafshi, Kegomel Al Imoy. Rabbi Neshul Olam, you know the truth is that my soul was always calm and silent and tranquil, like a nursing from its mother. That's even more tranquil. Because you think it's only the mother's originally, the little baby doesn't even know what's happening. Just knows one thing, it needs to eat, it needs nutrition. It's a push, an instinctive reflex action. Like any animal just drinks and suckles from the mother. Because the older, says David HaMelech, I am like the child who knows it's being nursed by a loving mother. When the child gets a little bit more mature, he realizes that the mother is not the only balabas over here. That the mother is telling the father. There's a father here. And the father might tell the mother, you know, I don't want you to nurse this baby. You're getting up in the middle of the night, you're tired, you're worn out. Don't give the baby. Don't nurse the baby. Give him a bottle. Let the baby cry a little bit. So suddenly when the child gets a little older, says the Chavis Lavavis, it realizes that the mother's not the Gansa Balabas over him, that the mother is Noyeg according to the ruts of the father. And now he starts putting some bitachon in the father. First the child put the pul bitachon in the breast. Then the child put the full bitachon in his mother. And then he realized his mother is not the Gansa Balabas over herself. And he realized the father protects the mother and controls the mother. He gets a little older and he starts realizing, you know what? I don't need my father. I don't need my mother. I can take care of myself. I can feed myself. I can go to work. I can make money. So the child starts having faith in himself, in his own strength, in his own cleverness, his own talents. And, but he says, this is a very famous, this is one of the classic lines in Chavis Lavavis. Umesuper al chosed echa, choylei shochein seifer moyer. The story is told about a chosed echa, who had a neighbor who was a great scribe, an excellent scribe, who was mispanis from his safras. Once the chassid asked his friend, Mash Shleimcha, how are you doing? And the cipher said, Shleimi Toiv, Kaloit Shiyadi Shleima. I'm okay as long as my writing hand is okay. As long as I can write, I'll be okay. On that very day, that very day, the hand of the scribe was chopped off. And he could never write again in his life. And that was a punishment from the Rabbeinu Shalom, because he put his faith in his hand and not in the Rabbeinu Shalom. And whatever you put your faith in outside the Rabbeinu Shalom becomes an avodah zara. And the halacha is avodah zara, idols have to be smashed. So if chas v'shalom a person believes in his hand, the hand nebuch is in danger. If you believe in your friend, you have a rich friend, and you say, oh, I have no problems, I have a rich friend that loves me. If I ever get into trouble, I go to my rich friend, Hashem will destroy the friendship. I believe in my job, you lose your job. If you believe in your job, that's where my parnassah is coming from, because it looks directly my job. If you really believe in your job, you lose your job, because I'm a desire to you. Anything that's going to interfere between you and having a real relationship with Hashem has to be destroyed. But the avodah zarah is any time a person puts his faith in the direct cause and doesn't realize that the real cause of our success is the indirect. That what's furthest away is the closest, and what's closest is further away. It's so simple, but it's so mind-boggling. I can't stop thinking about this. It demands avodah. So it demands avodah. Nebuch, the scribe was a good man. The scribe was a tzaddik. He was a good. He didn't say he was a rasha. Scribe was a human being, a normal human being. Why not? he answered Taka Emes, as long as my hand is good, I'm okay. But he answered wrong. He don't say that. I was with a tzaddik recently. So every time I said the words, he tells me something. I say to him, halavai. Halavai means I wish it would be so. I said, halavai, what does halavai mean? He says, never say that. Don't say that. I always say, bez Hashem, bez Hashem. But I'm so habituated to say halavai. Halavai means like I wish it would be like I want. That's what halavai really means, halavai. So that's a subtle phrase, halavai. No one thinks about it. What does that mean exactly? Halavai means, yeah, halavai. You should be like, halavai, I'm very happy you give me this bracha. Halavai, I would love it that way. Like, it's me. So don't say bez Hashem. Bez Hashem. Always say bez Hashem. Bez Hashem, it should be like that. Bez Hashem, it should be like that. It's very subtle. But a person, takya, is supposed to grow up. And just like we grow up, and we know that it's not the mother's breast, and it's not the mother, and it's not the father. It's supposed to know it's not me. This is we get stuck. We get takua. We get to this traffic jam in our faith. We grow up, you're 15 years old, you're 18 years old, you're 20 years old, and you say, you know what? No more parents. I'm on my own. But that's what we say. It's my hand. How you doing? As long as I can write, I'll be fine. It's like my friend, I told you once, this fellow I knew, who was a great businessman, and I never forget when he told me, Rabbi Foyer, I can make dirt into gold. I can make money anywhere. You could drop me, you could parachute me into darkest Africa, in the middle of Zimbabwe, and naked, without a penny to my name, without a stitch of clothing, and I can come out a millionaire. that's some fighting words, you know? Rabbi Foyer, you can parachute me stripped naked without a penny to my name, without a pin, in the middle of darkest Africa, Tanganyika, and I will emerge a millionaire. I can make the money out of anything. And the good news is that the guy never died in his 50s, and didn't have a penny to his name, and I had to pay for his funeral. So the guy, he had no money. He died broke, penniless, bankrupt. So he did that in his life a few times. You know, he made it, he was good, but he put his full faith in his... he died penniless. He died talk of heartbreak. He died penniless. And I don't just tell me the other day, a guy who's a well-known Baal Tzedakah, really, I mean, a very nice person. But I was really surprised to hear this, that he lost all his money last year in Russia. He's made a lot of money in real estate. He's doing very well his whole life. Well-known guy for 10 years, for 20 years, for 30 years, for 40 years. He's a well-known, this is Mr. Wealth. And the good Lord put in his head last year to put all his money into Russia. Russia bankrupted last year, and he was one of the people that they just defaulted on him, and he's out. Rahman Lassan, good guy. Only God knows, but you can lose it like that in a second. You can lose it in a second.
Also, saying that if you put your faith in like the mushel that he guarantees with the chassid effort, that he guarantees you that you're going to lose the because there are thousands of people who are not bali b'tachon who don't.
Okay, only the Rabbanu Shlomo, he gives this a dramatic example.
So he's not saying he guarantees.
This is how it works. How it's going to come in your life. These are just models. The exact application, we leave it to the Rabbanu Shlomo. How long it takes? This guy got his hands chopped off that afternoon. All these Mashalim and the Chavis of, do they really happen or he makes it up? I don't know.
Right.
He's a Mesuper. It's a great story. I mean, he's a Rishon. Whether it really happened, but it could happen. The idea is, this is the concept. The concept is what you put your faith in becomes your idol. It interferes between you and the real cause, the Rabbanu Shlomo, which is far away. So beware of idol worship. It's a very big Nisayan. Such an Nisayan. You have such an opportunity. I struggle with this every day. Not to put my faith in the direct cause and the people and the opportunities that look like so tentative. It's not Avera. I'm not doing a sin. I'm not stealing from anybody. I'm not doing Avera. I'm not confiding anybody. I'm not flattering anybody. But nevertheless, to live Chavis or Levavazik means you have to go constantly from Madrega to Madrega and grow and get closer to the source. So he says, this is his Einish from the Rabbanu Shlomo because he did not have faith. He had faith in his hand. And if a person has his parnasa through other people, and he's b'teich on his customers and his clients, and he puts an isamich on them, he would realize, and he gets smarter, that his customers and clients, they themselves need the Rabbanu Shlomo. So how could he have put his faith in his clients if his clients themselves cannot survive without God? So ultimately a person would be talking in the Rabbanu Shlomo and find his support only in him. But listen to this. He says, there's two levels in this. Sometimes we put our faith in the Rabbanu Shlomo. The first level of putting your faith in the Rabbanu Shlomo would be in those areas where I know that I can only be Samech in God. Because I know I'm helpless. So when it comes to rain, there was a drought 2-3 weeks ago. I know one thing. I cannot do anything about the rain. I know that I physically, I don't know how to seed clouds. I don't know how to, I haven't figured it out yet. I know one thing. If I need rain, I have to daven to the Rabbanu Shlomo because I know that rain comes from God. There's just really no human way that it can be the other way. So that's the first thing, that a person samech on God, and those things I know only God can protect me. Or if I know if I'm going on the sea, he says, or in the desert, I have no water. I know I have to have God because there's no water. Or if there's a hurricane or a flood or there's a plague and I'm helpless, so of course I have to throw myself upon God. There's no eitza. But if I'd really be smart, he says, when a person really gets to know God, we have bitachin in Hashem, even in those things where I am a sugal lazar la'atzmai k'tzas ayadei tach v'loisavu. This is real bitachin. Bitachin is not to be samech Hashem where I have no control. Real bitachin is to be samech Hashem where I appear to have control. So when it comes to my business, I could do some more advertising, and I could hustle some more, and I could make a few more phone calls. Maybe I should call this politician up, or that politician up, and maybe I should do this or do that, and this thing and that thing, and run. So the bitachon is dafka where I appear to have some control. And it would appear that more effort would make more results. So therefore, he says, but listen to this, such as, when I have the opportunity to get pranasa, but it's a risk. Listen to this. This is very subtle, very important, because you all have this big question now. So how much do we do? So he says, if it looks to me an opportunity to get a pranasa, I could get pranasa, but there's a danger. He didn't say what danger. The danger could be physical danger. It could be danger to my money. Or I could get wealthy by working harder and exhausting myself. By avoidos hamefarches esaguf, I could do things which are going to wear me out. But I said, I got to do it. You know, I'm young. I got to kill myself when I'm young. So when I get older, I'll have a little nest egg. And then I say to myself, this is ridiculous. I believe in the Rabbanu Shlomo. I have to do some. I forget. My bitachon is I'm going to do work. If I'm working, I'm working. If I have a business, I got to do the business. So let's get that straight. If I have a business, I have to run my business. but I have to run it normal. So I'm not going to put it, I'm not going to go crazy, I'm not going to make a risky investment. Russia is too risky. Russia is too risky. Wild place. Too risky to invest in. I don't make dangerous investments. I do things that my accountant, my advisor told me this is a normal investment. This investment makes sense. Less profit. Only going to make 5%, 10%. Told me in Russia I could double my money. Dangerous. Dangerous physically too. There's a mafia there. I'm not taking danger. I'm not going to be a diamond dealer because my friends told me that they got that at least three times in their careers already. They've been locked in their trunks and they've been held up and pistol whipped and then people got killed. I'm not going to do that. It's a dangerous business. It's too dangerous for me. I'm not going to work extra hours. Sorry. I work 9 to 5, maybe. It's a lot too. Well, actually I have no car 9 to 5. 9 to 8, 10 to 4 will be fine also. I'll do what's good for me. I'm not going to take a second job. That's out of the question. I don't moonlight. I barely sunlight. And I don't do extra. I don't run around hustling for customers. Chomshin koyach. Yes, I'm running my business, but I run it nice and geschmack. Not lazy, just normal. I will not run around the country drumming up new clients and going to Pocatello, Idaho and Cheyenne, Wyoming to find some new business. It's not necessary. I have a few decent clients here. Pranasa will come right from them. I can't run away from my family. I have to run my kids at night. I have no koyach to run around. I have no time to run around. My seder requires a home every night. I have a chavrusa. I have a shir. I want to daven like a mensch. Anything that endangers my normal lifestyle is too much. Gevaltik. And I am by teyach in my little kiosk over here. And the Rebbe can send me pranasa easy and not hard. And I'm kavana. I'm working to have an opportunity to have money to serve the Rebbeinu Shalom and to keep his mitzvahs. Finished. We've said this a few times already. It's nothing new. It's just a new knach, a new approach. So the Chavos Lubavitch constantly tells us again, do we have to have some ishtadlis? Yes. How much ishtadlis? Whatever I'm comfortable with. Simple. Whatever is not dangerous. It's not dangerous to me physically. It's not dangerous emotionally. It's not dangerous spiritually. It's not taxing, it's not overburdening, it's just nice and geschmack. Anything that is not geschmack is not for me. No martyrdom, there's no mitzvah of martyrdom and mesiras nefesh or parnasa. Any mesiras nefesh or parnasa, you wasted your time in koyach, you actually hurt yourself. So a person thinks he's mesiras nefesh, my wife and kids have mesiras nefesh, he wasted his nefesh. It's a waste of time, a waste of koyach, it's actually an aveira. It's actually an aveira. So what people think is the biggest mitzvah, which is to work hard, the Puritan work ethic of the USA, which made the USA so great. The Puritan work ethic is for Puritans, nishva yidden. Leave it, save it, let the Puritans do it, and let them have the work ethic, and a yid does, well, it's nice and comfortable. So whatever my profession requires, I do just enough, and if I can get away with even, again, I'm not saying be lazy. You do what's normal, what I feel I can do. If I have a geschmack and I'm doing it and it's going fine, someone want to open Dafka another branch. They have one office doing well. My partner's telling me I've opened a new branch. It'd be great. Really? You want to do it? You have time for it? It's really a little risky and it's taking a little more time for me. And everything. So what do you need it for? If it goes geschmack and you have other people to do it, you can delegate maybe and it's easy. It's happening. You see it's going. Okay, maybe. It's gates. With ease. It's just natural flow. It's happening. Okay, why not? But if there's difficulty, again, so nothing in life is easy. I mean, you can't say it has to go perfect. So this is where a person has to have Ruach HaKodesh. This is where a person has to be a Baal B'Tochen. The Baal B'Tochen is a daven to the Rebbeinu Shlom. They should give me the seichel to know what's appropriate and what's not appropriate. And like we say in davening, the same sachar toif l'chol ha'boitchim b'shimcha b'emes. Bottom line is, we said in davening this morning, Rebbeinu Shlom, give a sachar toif, a good reward. And we shouldn't have bezayin. This is the main thing. We'll get bezayinus. We ask that the Rebbeinu Shalom should teach us how to have emes to be talking. But who knows if are we talking as emes to be talking? We talk be talking. Rebbe Foyer talks a good game, and I talk about be talking day and night. And I'm telling you that every day it's a struggle to be emes a Baal B'Tochen. To be a B'Tochen is one thing. I believe it's from God, but to be a Baal B'Tochen, be emes, that I go to the Rebbeinu Shlom and I don't pay attention to the emsoyim, of them that men davenin v'sein sachatayiv l'chol aboitchim v'shimcha be'emes v'sim chelkeinu imahem u'la'oylam l'nevaish ki v'cha b'tachnu. And we shouldn't have bizyonis, because we put our bitachin in you, Rabbeinu Shalom. What? Yeah, Rabbeinu, it's a little different. The main thing is we shouldn't have bizyonis, because we put our bitachin in you and you alone. Baruch atah Hashem, mishan u'miftach latzadikim. And the Gevalta Gevor, what's your mishan u'miftach latzadikim? The Farshim say that mishan means that the Rabbeinu Shalom is my crutch before I come to the ultimate bitachin. But finally, I want Hashem to be my miftach, my only source of bitachon. So Rabbi said, we'll continue this next week in Mitzvah Hashem.